Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in East County. Today, my very special guest is Stephen Riznick. Stephen is an immigration lawyer with San Diego Biz Law, and we're going to be talking about some restrictions that can affect green card and visa holders. Now, a lot of people think that because of Donald Trump's revised travel ban, which exempted green card and visa holders, that if you're in one of those categories, you're safe. But there's actually a second order, presidential order, number 13768, that is resulting in a lot of people leaving the country and finding out they can't get back in. So that's going to be our topic today. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Miriam.
You're welcome. Very important issue. So can you fill our listeners in on exactly what presidential order 13768 means for people who are visa holders or green card holders? These are legal residents, but not citizens.
Right. Yeah, and it's interesting, as you mentioned, with the travel ban. Everybody has been focusing on the travel ban and getting shot down by 13768 that nobody seems to be aware of. What it speaks to are enforcement priorities, people that we need to get rid of sooner. And although he's got six categories of people listed, the first three are the ones that are most, common, I'd say. Having been convicted of any criminal offense is exactly the wording. Have been charged with any criminal offense where such charge has not been resolved. So that means you're charged, but you haven't been convicted.
So that seems like it violates due process.
It would seem like it, but they may not have the right to due process at certain stages. And then the third one is have committed acts that constitute a chargeable criminal offense. That one's kind of in the gray area. I mean, if you've committed the acts that constitute an offense, but nobody's charged you, it's hard to see how you'd get deported. But I'm sure there are people who would report some people on certain issues if you wanted to move them out of the country.
That seems like it really opens a can of worms. Somebody who wants to get rid of their troublesome neighbor or something, or someone they don't like, could just simply make up something, couldn't they, and say, I saw this person, you know, commit a crime, and boom, they're gone just on somebody's accusation with no opportunity to defend yourself in court?
That's basically how it goes, because, you know, one of the areas that's very controversial, domestic violence charges. Now, obviously, I don't condone anything of that nature. However, you know, in my 29 years of practice, I've had a number of people say to me, well, I wasn't guilty of this, I didn't do it. And, you know, after a while, you're like, everybody thinks they're innocent. But I've had several cases where the person's spouse, and both male and female spouses, it goes both ways, mm-hmm. have said to me, yeah, it wasn't true. I did it to myself because I had enough of him. I want to go to jail or whatever. Well, now, because it's so easy to get somebody charged with domestic violence in California, for example, you simply have to make a phone call. Person's in jail, and from there, they're out of here.
It doesn't just apply to serious crimes like rape or murder or even allegations of spousal abuse. This can be something as minor as somebody who's been here for many, many years and maybe shoplifted a loaf of bread long ago when they were hungry. They could be deported, or they could be not allowed back into the United States if they leave to go visit a family member. Is that correct?
That's correct, and that's where we're getting most of our phone calls. People from Canada, England, Australia, they leave, primarily because one of their elders, you know, their parents, is ill.
Yeah.
And they have no idea it's a one-way trip.
Wow. Is it just a possibility if you leave that this can happen and you can be blocked, or is this happening to everybody who leaves and has any sort of criminal record or accusation of a crime that hasn't been cleared up?
I don't think the system is technologically advanced enough to catch everybody everywhere. But certainly, if these are enforcement priorities under Section 5, then the easiest thing to do is not let them back in.
And are you actually seeing that in your practice? I know there's a lot of fear, but are you seeing actual cases of people who are being denied reentry to the U.S., who were visa holders or green card holders, and who had either committed a crime or had simply been accused of one?
Well, I'm getting a lot of calls on that. You know, most of our business is conducted by phone because we have clients worldwide and nationwide. Yeah. But what's happening is now officers are asking the question, have you ever committed a criminal offense? Or, you know, have you ever been charged or anything? Where before, maybe they were a little bit more, not lax is not the right word because they did their job well. But I'm stating they weren't as careful about this question. But now it basically implies if you've been charged with an offense or committed one, you know, you shouldn't be let in because if you're an enforcement priority, we want to get you out. So once we got you out, we don't have to let you back in.
So how widespread could this become? We've got spring break coming up. I'm thinking lots of students who might be going home, and if they've, you know, they've had maybe a DUI or they got in trouble spraying graffiti or doing some of the stupid things kids do. What's your advice to people who might be thinking about leaving the country on vacation or to go visit a relative or on business for that matter?
Well, not promoting lawyers, but you should call a lawyer if you have any kind of a criminal offense or something pending and find out if you qualify for what's called a waiver. However, a waiver takes about 8 months to get approved, which is a problem.
Yeah.
And it's a very complicated document that only 1% of immigration lawyers are qualified to create. And if you have a waiver, then you can get waived from not being able to reenter.
And do you have to apply and get the waiver before you leave the United States, or can you apply for it and then, you know, have them waive it and you get to come back?
Well,
but you're already over there.
Here's the problem. If you don't apply for it in the United States and you're already out and it's not approved,
you're stuck.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
And based on, again, it'll take about a year before we see the regulations, which are basically like the owner's manual of a law, 413768. But the way it looks now, I mean, a lot of people are going to be moved outside the country simply because they don't know it. You know, I'm getting people from Canada in tears saying, well, wait a second, I came here, I went to a convention or I went to a meeting in Toronto or Vancouver or Edmonton, Calgary, and then all of a sudden I couldn't get back in the country. I've got children, I've got a spouse, I've got children in school, underage children, this and that. What am I supposed to do? There is nothing we can do. We can't get them in, and they have to apply for the waiver and now wait 8 months to even see if it's approved.
Wow, so this could be terribly disruptive. I would think this could be a big problem for businesses. Is the business community complaining about this, or do they even know? I'm thinking about the high-tech companies where a lot of them have workers who travel overseas regularly. They might be from, you know, India or China or someplace else, and how many of them might have some small blight on their record where they've been at some point accused of some sort of crime?
Well, that's the thing, and that's where it's interesting because, you know, people do lie on their applications for employment. I've seen that even at my firm where people apply, and, you know, we check backgrounds and find out. So, yes, you may see a lot of this, or you may see people all of a sudden not wanting to travel to conferences and not explaining
why.
You'll
be a CEO and not get back in, huh?
Oh, it's very possible. In fact, even before 13768, I had this British fellow, CEO of about a $50 million company. It wasn't massive, but still, they're opening up branches globally. When he was young, he got stupid and drunk and took his clothes off in a public area and was dancing around with his beer bottle. Well, he couldn't get in even before 13768.
Wow.
And this was 20 years ago for him.
Now,
or
what counts as a chargeable offense? Do traffic tickets count, for example, or does it have to be, you know, something more serious than that?
Again, we don't have regulations. We don't have any help here with this.
So you're saying if you've got a speeding ticket, you could be deported?
No, but what I was going to say, no, it wouldn't make sense. I don't think that anything, an infraction as we call them, wouldn't be one of those. It has to be in a penal code as a criminal offense, I would assume.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, we've been talking so far about people who are green card holders or who are visa holders leave the country and suddenly find they can't come back in because they've either committed a crime or simply been charged or accused of one, even if they've never been found guilty or had their day in court. But what if you're not leaving the country and you're in one of those categories Do you need to worry that someone's going to come knocking on your door or find you at school or work and haul you off and deport you if you have a long ago criminal offense or criminal accusation on your record?
It becomes a yes to that question. I mean, they don't have the manpower right now to take everybody away.
So leaving and coming back, that sort of puts you onto their radar when you might not otherwise be, but it could still happen even if you don't leave.
Well, you're correct, because there's going to be cross-checking of criminal records. It'll be a matter of time. I mean, technologically, you know, once they get it all organized, it's going to be a matter of time till they have a solid database of everybody who has a criminal record. So if they don't have a waiver, which, you know, again, I would hope that people would take this seriously enough, or a governor's pardon if they've committed a felony and time in prison.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. So if you've had a pardon, or if you've had your record expunged, or if you committed a crime when you were a minor, do those count for purposes of getting you deported?
Well, you just asked a great question. Expungement. No, expungement does not help you.
And wow.
A lot of people think that it does, mistakenly. In immigration, expungements are not recognized.
Yeah, and an expungement, of course, means that you don't have to disclose the past crime. If you are applying for a job, for example, basically your record is considered to be clean. You've been essentially forgiven for having done your duty to society. I know we've even seen locally cases of police officers who got records expunged for beating somebody up or something like that. So you're saying now that if an ordinary person gets a crime, however minor, expunged off their record, no matter how many years ago it happened, they can be picked up and deported?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. Expungement has never helped and doesn't help at this stage.
How about a pardon, which of course is normally only given for more serious offenses, felonies typically.
Yeah, and that's the mixed blessing is, you're correct, is for felonies, they're hard to get. So that is a mixed blessing. They're perfect because they will actually work for immigration purposes. But they're hard to get. We have to show a certificate of rehabilitation. You can't be granted parole and, you know, finish your sentence early if it was after, I believe, 1943.
So you're giving me an idea. If somebody falls to this category, they're a green card holder, they've committed a past felony, they've done their time, they've kind of rehabilitated themselves, might it be a good idea to apply to Jerry Brown and ask him to pardon you so that you don't have to worry about being deported?
A good idea is an understatement. It's a solid idea, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
How about people who committed a crime when they were minors, children?
I would assume that it wouldn't count. But again, the regulations haven't been promulgated, so we don't know. But it would be highly unlikely that somebody under 18, unless they were charged with a very serious offense and charged as an adult, that
right.
It would count.
Okay. Now, you have also told me that your clients are coming forth and advising you that out in Pacific Beach, there have been DUI stops where people are being picked up for deportation there, which is surprising to me because we've heard local law enforcement generally have said they're not really going to be cooperating with holding people and handing them over to Customs and Immigration, the reason being that they do not want to make people afraid if they're, say, undocumented or any of these other categories. You know, they don't want them to be afraid to come forward and report a crime, for example, if it happens. Tell me what's going on in Pacific Beach from what you've heard.
I had a phone call in February, and at first, you know, because again, I wasn't there, so I can't speak firsthand. I got a phone call one day where one of our callers, who, when I say callers, not a client, had called me and stated, you know, what are the rules and regulations? What am I allowed to do? And I said, why are you asking? Well, I was on Garnett, a police stop, and then all of a sudden somebody was asking me for my ID as a federal agent. And he said that he could come home with me if I didn't have it on me to see if I had it. This is really strange. So you're never quite sure. You get all kinds of people calling. And then somebody else called that same day within 2 hours stating that it was onto the entrance into Pacific Beach, that this had happened to them as well. So something went on because, you know, the federal agents can't just stop and have a random police, or even if it's non-random, a sequential stop of every single person to find out if they're an alien or an American or not. But the one method we do have is a DUI stop. So you could...
Yeah, typically a DUI stop, at least when they do them out here in this county, they typically check for drunk driving, drug driving, but they also do license checks. So if you're found to be driving without a license or on an expired license, they can pick you up or even, in extreme cases, seize your vehicle. But now you're saying that they're using that to identify people who are subject to deportation as well, perhaps?
Well, that's what I, you know, ascertained this day in February, and this executive order was issued on the 30th of January. So in the early enforcement days, that could have happened, because I know that certain cities, including ours, have stated that, you know, they're not going to be mixing the two, because it becomes a little bit difficult of an operation from a number of controversial standpoints.
But in Pacific Beach, you had people tell you that they were actually followed home to go get their ID, their proof that they were a citizen?
They actually put it in a different way. They thought, this guy's so nice that he's giving me a chance to show him, you know, because the person did have a green card.
Yeah, instead of just arresting me now, they're making sure I can prove it.
You know, from one perspective, it's kind of unique. It's great customer service. But from another perspective, if he didn't have that green card, he'd probably be in handcuffs. So good thing he did.
Wow. So I guess the moral of the story on that is, if you are a green card or visa holder, make sure that you have your identification handy in case you have to present it. That sounds like something out of Nazi Germany, really, but I guess that's the reality we're in right now.
Well, you know, the biggest problem that we see, apart from shoplifting, is drunk driving. And I'm not talking about where somebody is really badly drunk and has a car accident, but, you know, they get stopped on a check stop, or
they had one beer too many.
Correct. They make a lane change, and of course, you know, this is a college town. We have a lot of college kids, a lot on student visas, the F1 visa.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen. And I would carry my, copy of my visa or a copy of my green card in my car just in case, because what can happen is you can get processed and then put in custody for the federal agents.
And I guess also be even more careful about making sure you're not drinking and driving. Maybe it's worth it to call an Uber or Lyft.
That's what I tell my clients. Yeah. I mean, seriously, with Uber around, there's no reason, if you think at all that you're going to do it, you know, just get an Uber.
Yeah, exactly. You told me about a pretty outrageous case of someone who tried to be a good Samaritan, a witness to a crime, and wound up deported because of it. Tell our listeners that story.
He was actually more than a witness. A lawyer had called me, because we also prepare immigration cases for 80 law firms, and he called me from somewhere in the Midwest, and he had told me the strangest case, and I was saddened by it. He said a police officer was being accosted by a criminal, and the criminal had control of the police officer, who happened to be alone at the time. And this gentleman, who was here illegally, passed by and he saw the police officer getting beat up. So he didn't, you know, feel that was right. So he got out of his car, you know, thought about it, but he said, you know what, let me just get out of my car and help this guy. So he helps the police officer out, but now he's getting deported because he was here illegally.
Wow. That just seems shameful to me. That, what do we want? Do we want someone to feel like they have to stand by idly and let a police officer be injured or maybe killed by a real criminal because they're afraid of being deported if they come forward and tell the truth? And, you know, that's a high-profile kind of case, but obviously the same thing could happen in our local neighborhoods. I've heard a lot of our local elected officials and police officers say they're very worried in the case of undocumented people, or I guess even green card holders who may be been accused of a crime or committed one at some point, that they might be afraid to report, hey, you know, my neighbor's beating his wife, or I just saw somebody break into the house across the street, because they could be found to be undocumented or, you know, a green card holder who has a crime on their record, and then they could be deported for trying to do the right thing.
You know, you're so right. You make an excellent point, because at the end of the day, where I think this all sediments is discretion. But, there are many fallouts from this presidential order. But one of it is the community one that you're talking about. I mean, again, I don't support somebody being here illegally, and I don't support driving drunk or crimes. However, they're still a human being. They're still a part of our society. They still, you know, get in the midst of everything. They do their thing. They report crimes. They help people. They do many, many good things, as people do. This is all going to go away. You're right, because who wants to risk being deported when you're being a good Samaritan, or when you're doing the right thing?
So where do you draw the line? I guess, you know, to be devil's advocate for a moment, the sort of pro-deportation crowd isn't here with us right now. But, you know, they've looked at cases at the other extreme of the spectrum. I think there was a Sanctuary City case up in San Francisco where they were shielding somebody from deportation who'd committed multiple serious violent felonies, and they went out and injured or killed somebody, again, because they hadn't been deported. So do you think that there's a reasonable line that can be drawn between maybe deporting people who are a true danger to society versus protecting people who are not?
Why, yeah, I definitely do. I mean, the president has his heart in the right place, but, you know, the execution, or maybe that, you know, if this was a little bit more finely defined at this stage, even before the regulation stage, creates some problems. Because if you blankly, like, if you were to remove from America all American citizens with criminal records, you know how many people we'd lose?
A lot of them.
First of all. And secondly, who would take them? So.
Good point.
But at the end of the day, you know, because we create a lot of waivers, you know, we've represented some extremely high profile scientists, actors, movie producers. I mean, people make mistakes. It's the nature of who we are as human beings. We're going to make a mistake, and sometimes, sadly, that mistake crosses the boundaries of the law.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, and this is, again, unfortunately going to take some manpower, and I've got some ideas on how it could be done, but, again, the government does things their way.
I'm curious, are there any constitutional challenges here? For example, has anybody gone to court yet to challenge the legality of deporting somebody who's merely been accused of a crime for the first time and has never had their day in court? Obviously, sometimes people are found innocent by courts. DNA evidence may prove someone innocent. An eyewitness could have just got it wrong. You know, an assault could turn out to be self-defense. How can it be legal to just deport somebody who's a legal green card holder, a legal resident, when they haven't been convicted of anything yet?
Well, you know, we haven't gotten to the stage where somebody with enough money to challenge this has had themselves removed on that basis. Because at the end of the day, law does cost money.
Yeah.
And the more you spend, the better lawyer you get. I mean, it's for the most part.
I mean, would you file a challenge like that if you had the right client come along, somebody out there who's a rich CEO who gets told he can't come, you know, that he's getting deported because of something that he was accused of and not convicted of?
I would challenge this, absolutely, because just being charged. For example, you know, there are oftentimes situations where a number of you are doing something. Let's say a bunch of college kids, toilet paper all over somebody's house. Mm-hmm. They'll charge everybody, and then it's your job to exculpate yourself. And if you're one of those people, you're out. Another one that I see I don't see it commonly in my practice, but I could see it commonly happening. When there are enough drugs in a car for two or more people, and there are two or more people, then they both get charged with possession for the purposes of trafficking. Now, that's a very serious offense. For example,
and you might not even know if you're catching a ride with somebody and they've got drugs.
Correct. Or even today, I don't have a marijuana card. I don't smoke marijuana. Mm-hmm. But let's say somebody does have a card and they have marijuana. Let's say they don't have a card and they have enough marijuana for both of us. I'm in big trouble.
I had that situation happen to me. I was had a photographer. We went through the checkpoint out here in Pine Valley. And coming back, the drug-sniffing dog was going nuts. And it turned out my photographer had a medical marijuana card, which he showed. And the agent, this was before the Trump order, probably be worse now, but the agent looked at him and said, well, if we find even one seed, you're busted, and it's a felony. It's not legal under federal law. And I was just getting chills. I thought, I'm just the driver. I had no idea, you know. And thankfully, they didn't find anything. The dog was just alerting on a bag the guy was carrying that used to have his medical marijuana in it. But what if they had, you know, a couple seeds and you can have a felony? And if you didn't even know it and you're the driver or a passenger in that vehicle and you're a green card holder, you're toast, basically.
Well, especially here, like you're talking about the border. That's considered a border. That's
a
problem.
If you drive through the checkpoints, folks, even the ones inside the U.S., you know, and you've got a buddy that's a medical marijuana user, you make them shake the bags out and leave that stuff at home.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Especially if, you know, and some of these medical marijuana users, they have a lot more than they need, and that's where the person beside them could get charged because they're thinking, why do you have all of this marijuana?
Yeah,
even
exactly.
If you've got a card.
Yeah, the laws are crazy. So I guess, you know, in wrapping this up, what advice would you give to people who are green card holders or visa card holders right now? Can you sum it up for those who are legal residents in those categories in the United States about what they need to know and what they should do to protect themselves from being, or at least minimize the chance that they would be deported if they're not a serious, you know, felon?
Absolutely. If they have any kind of a crime, find out from an immigration lawyer if you qualify for a waiver, W-A-I-V-E-R, it's called a waiver, so that you can do something about this. Because if you're just sitting here, it's a matter of time before they get you. They're not stupid. They're very good at what they do.
Yeah.
They will catch you.
And
I wouldn't travel.
Is there a rule of who can qualify for the waiver and who can't? Or is that still nebulous?
Oh, no, not at all. Under Section 212, the rules are laid out and the Code of Federal Regulations lays out who qualifies, who doesn't qualify, under what grounds, what they need to show.
Okay.
So it's very well laid out. Waivers have been going on for a long time. And the other thing I would certainly say, absolutely, don't leave the country.
And that includes, we should add, even if you've been accused of a crime and not convicted.
Oh, absolutely. Because you're considered in the same category. And even if it's a $5 shoplifting offense that you don't think anything about, or if you're from Canada, you're expunged there, it doesn't count here. If you're expunged here, it doesn't count anyway.
Wow.
So think twice about this, but really be careful, because this is the law that's getting everybody. Everybody's looking up at the sky while the reptile is coming in and getting them at the ankles.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I really want to thank you for joining us today. If people want to get more information about this, Mr. Resnick, do you have a website or a source that you
can
refer to?
Yes, I do, and I have a number of articles that I've written about this law, and it's myimmigrationattorney.com. And they can read the articles. There's some articles there on waivers. There's videos for them to see on immigration so they can do it right. Absolutely. Thank you.
Listeners, if you just tuned in, we've been speaking with Stephen Resnick with San Diego Biz Law, an immigration lawyer, about some of the little-known provisions of Presidential Order 13768 that you should know if you are a green card holder or visa holder here in the United States. Thank you so much for joining us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice.
Thank you so much, Miriam. It's been such a pleasure.